You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Peter Lynch was an investment superstar who gave up 14-hour workdays on Wall Street for a slower, family-oriented life. Mr. Lynch said, "I don't know anyone who wished on his deathbed that he had spent more time at the office." Most of us have to work, and many of us work hard and long. Maybe Mr. Lynch has the dollars to walk away from work, but I don't have that kind of money, and you probably don't either. And I really don't want to be free from work. If anyone does not work, the Bible says, neither should he eat. I don't mind long hours. I like my work, and I hope you feel the same way about your work. But we don't want to be dominated by work. And that happens so easily. The world around you emphasizes work. You live in a hyperactive society. Maybe you even marvel at people called workaholics. Don't just sit there, do something. That's the common saying. But I don't want to be dominated by work, and I don't think that you do either. And here's the start of today's good news. God doesn't want you to be dominated by your work. There's only one thing that God wants to dominate your life, and that's Him. He wants to be the Lord of your life with grace. God doesn't want to dominate your life in a slave-driving, rules and regulations, clock-punching, work-oriented sort of way. No, God wants to be to you a Lord of grace, a Lord who regularly turns the workaday world upside down and says to you, don't just do something, sit there. That's our theme today. Don't just do something, sit there. Let me start by showing that God's own activity does not condone nonstop work, but rather gives His approval to regular rest. Genesis chapter 1 tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. If you remember the chapter, you know that there's a pattern in it. God said, "Let there be," and there was. The Bible says that God repeatedly looked at everything He had made and saw that it was very good. Then Genesis chapter 2 says this, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done." Why did God rest? Obviously, God was not tired. Isaiah 40 says, "The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary." Or was God's rest simply an anthropomorphism? That is, was the writer of Genesis describing God in human terms? God really didn't rest, so this line of thinking goes, but the writer said that God rested because that's what we humans can understand. That's not the explanation. The Bible elsewhere refers to God's rest as a fact. He really did stop working and rest. Do you know why? Because God does not condone nonstop work, but rather gives His approval to regular rest. God rested because God identified Himself with His creation. God rested because He identifies with our human pattern of work and rest. From the very first pages of the Bible, God is a God who is with us. He is Emmanuel. That means God with us. We usually identify the word Emmanuel with Jesus, our Savior from sin, death, and hell. Matthew 1:23 says, "The virgin will conceive and have a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. God sent Jesus Christ into the world so that God could be with you in His forgiveness and grace. The coming of Jesus Christ is a demonstration that God is a God who delights to be with people. God's desire to be with you showed up already in Genesis when He rested. He showed that He's with you in your pattern of work and rest. Since He wants to be with you in your routine of work and rest, God always wants you to be with Him. That's what the third commandment is all about. Or some of you might know it as the fourth commandment. Whichever, it says this: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I'm not going to tackle the question, when is the Sabbath day today? We'll do that in our next program. As you may know, we're doing a series of messages this month about rest. Last week we talked about the need to get away. Come ye apart, Jesus says to us. Next week's title is Sabbath and Speed Bumps. Then I'll talk about what day is the Sabbath. Today I want to talk about the pattern of work and rest. It's a necessary pattern. It's also a pattern that God has commanded. So often the world says, do something. But God does not condone nonstop work. He blesses your rest. He says that you should have times when you do nothing but simply sit there. I was talking about this once to a Bible class attended by the wives of seminary students. The week before, I had said that you can't and you shouldn't be working all the time. 6 days you will labor and do all your work, the Bible says, but the seventh day is a Sabbath for the Lord your God. You are not to do any work. Now, sometimes there are some things that should be left undone so you can rest. One of the seminary wives said that she had told her husband that, and he responded, "That sounds good, but it's really not very practical." Well, I'm going to tell you what I told her. Following the divine example of work and rest is the most practical thing that you can do. And here's why. When God made man and woman, He told them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God gave humanity dominion. The word dominion comes from a Latin word, dominus, which means Lord. God made us lords over the earth. He gave us dominion. How do we exercise our dominion? The answer is through work. The farmer exercises dominion by plowing and planting. The factory worker exercises dominion by making whatever it is he or she makes. If you work in an office, your kingdom is your desk. That's where you rule through your paperwork. Parents have dominion over their children, governments over their citizens, and on it goes. There are right ways, and, as we're painfully aware, there are also wrong ways to exercise this dominion. Be that as it may, through work, we exercise the God-given gift of dominion. Someday, God is going to take the gift back. Someday, you'll die and give up work, and you'll give up that God-given dominion over your little corner of the world. Here comes the important point. When God asks you to have a regular pattern of work and rest, He is asking you now to remind yourself that He, God, is Lord, and dominion belongs ultimately to Him. Picture in your mind a royal throne. The person who has dominion sits on the throne. God has put you and me on our little thrones. The scepter by which we exercise dominion is our work. Now, one day God is going to say, "Okay, get off the throne. I'm taking dominion back." Regular times of rest are times when you willingly hop off the throne to remind yourself who really is the Lord. Whether the work is done or not is not as important as you and I impressing upon ourselves through regular rest that God is finally the Lord of life, not you, not me. The reason that God told Israel to rest is so that they would remember how kind He had been to them when He saved them from slavery in Egypt. In a version of the third commandment given in Deuteronomy chapter 5, God says, "Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, And the Lord your God brought you out from there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." God rested after the creation to show that He is God with you. And now He wants you to rest regularly with Him so that you'll be impressed by His love and grace. You live in a works-oriented society that constantly says, "Don't just sit there, do something." You have production quotas to fill. You have deadlines to meet. You have expectations from other people that you try to satisfy. Drive down the street and street signs give you orders. Go to the doctor and he prescribes what you should do. Get your tax forms in the mail and you know you have to do it. On and on it goes. You live in a world of rules and commands. If you do them, you're rewarded. If you don't, you'll be punished. That's the way it has to be in a society. But if you start to transfer this work mentality over into the sphere of the highest spiritual blessing, then you're in trouble. For although you live in a world of rules and works, you're not saved by work. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, "By God's grace you are saved through faith. It was not your own doing, it is God's gift. It is not the result of anything you have done, and so no one may boast." God wants you to have a regular pattern of work and rest so that you can remember you are saved by grace. So, get off the throne of works and remember that you're saved by grace, by the undeserved love that God has given you in His Son, Jesus Christ. God sent Jesus into the world as the greatest demonstration that God really does want to be with you. Jesus came to show how much God is Emmanuel, God with you. Jesus came into this world and died on the cross to forgive your sins. You could be a workaholic your whole life long, but you'd never do enough to make amends for your sins. When it comes to paying for your sins, you don't need to do more work. You need a divine and a forgiving Savior. Jesus' work was to die on the cross so that your sins would be paid for. And God was pleased with the work that Jesus did. That's why God restored Jesus to life on Easter Sunday morning. By raising Jesus, God tells you that while there's more than enough work for you to do in this world, your eternal salvation is not the result of your work, but rather of God's redeeming grace. The work of your salvation was accomplished, not by your works, but by Jesus. All God asks of you is that you believe it. Faith is not a work you do either. Faith is a gift. God, your Lord, is gracious. Jesus the Emmanuel, the eternal Son of the Father who rested on the seventh day, says to you, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Last week I told some stories from my recent trip to Venezuela. One morning I had to get up at 4 o'clock to catch a flight from Valencia to Puerto Ordaz. Missionary Dan Conrad took me to the Valencia airport and told me a story that he had come across, a story that illustrates today's theme. A jailkeeper had challenged the great Houdini. "I can put you in a jail cell and you won't be able to escape." Houdini accepted the challenge. When he had been isolated in the cell, Houdini pulled out a pick that he had concealed on his body. He started to work on the lock. He tried and he tried to pick the lock, but Houdini was unable to hear the click that indicated that the lock had been opened. More and more he tried, and each time he failed, and each time he grew more frustrated at his lack of success. Finally, Houdini became so frustrated with his failure to open the lock that he resigned himself to defeat and threw himself in complete exasperation against the door that he couldn't open. When Houdini threw himself against the door, it swung wide open. It had never been locked. There are some doors in life that work cannot open. There are problems in life that are solved only by surrender. You and I need to discriminate between the times that call for active work and the times that call for us to set our work aside, to surrender and to assume the suppliant status of a creature before our Creator and Lord. There are times when the world's slogan, "Don't just sit there, do something," is very much in order. But there are also times when Emmanuel calls you to leave work and rest. Don't just do something. Sit there. Regular rest is good preparation for the time when God orders us off our little thrones and brings us into eternity. Remember, Peter Lynch said, "I don't know anyone who wished on his deathbed that he had spent more time at the office." When that day comes, when you go to be with God, how blessed you'll be because you took time during your life to rest with the God who came to be with you. Amen.